Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Michelle Morris with Consolidated Planning Group. And today we have got Marianne Hughes. She is an exceptional divorce coach, and she's going to talk to us today about making marriage work when you are a special needs parent. Again, I'm Michelle Morris with Consolidated Planning Group. If you have seen some of our previous webinars, you might know these things I'm about to say, some housekeeping items. I just want to let everybody know that we're in webinar mode, which means we can't see you or hear you, but we do know you're out there by the count of participants. So feel free, if you have any questions or comments, please put them in the chat box and I will get to those. I'll be keeping an eye on that. And I'll let Marianne know as we're going if questions come up. Also, this webinar is being recorded. We always record our webinars and put them onto our YouTube channel. And then we also email that link to you and the slides. So later on today, you will get all of these slides. You'll get a link to the recording, and you can watch it again if you'd like anytime. So Consolidated Planning Group, we are a holistic special needs planning firm. We focus, like I said, on families who have loved ones with any kind of intellectual or developmental disability. We've been in business for over 30 years and we help with things like your benefits, transition planning, making sure you have life insurance and securities and investments all in place. We are located just outside of Houston in the Sugarland area, but because, you know, we can be licensed in many different states, we can work all across the country. So it doesn't matter if you're in Houston or Dallas or El Paso or Chicago or New York, anywhere across the United States, we can help you out. We are members of the Special Needs Planning Academy, and we are also certified National Social Security advisors. Like I said, families come to us for things like protection plans, lifetime care plans. We do a lot of help with transition planning, ABLE accounts, and we're really aiming to educate families and advocate for families like yours, because the owner of our firm, Allison, has two kids who have disabilities. And when she was going through all of this and seeing how difficult it was and the nuances and the tips and tricks, she saw how overwhelming and difficult this all is. And she said, you know, we want to help other families so that it's not so hard on you as it was on her learning all of this for the first time. You know, there are over 263,000 financial advisors across the United States, but fewer than 200 of them, not 200,000, just 200 financial advisors in the United States focus on special needs planning the way that we do. That's less than a 10th of a percent. So when you are thinking about, oh, I have a financial advisor, good, that is a great start. But you might want to also talk to one who understands the nuances and can help you navigate special needs planning. One of the things that we know keeps a lot of people up at night is who will care for your child when you are no longer here. And we always say that it is very, very important that you start planning now. It doesn't matter if your child is an infant or a toddler or in high school or an adult. Right now is the time to start planning, because the more time you have, the more of an impact that you can make and the more positive changes you can make. We want you to think about the future care plan for your loved one. Who will take care of them? What will that look like? How will that be paid for? There are great vocational options and residential options, and even post-high school educational options that might be a great fit for your loved one. But you do have to research those early and, you know, maybe do some campus tours or community tours to find out which ones are the best fit for you. And we do not recommend that you automatically just allow a sibling to step into a caregiver role, because, you know, sometimes that can create some tensions on both sides of that equation. So just be careful with that situation, even though it seems maybe easier or maybe less expensive for you. It just, in theory, it sounds great, but logistically, it might not be the right thing for your family. So think long and hard before you do that. That's enough from me, because you're not here to hear from me. You're here to hear about Making Marriage Work from Marianne Hughes. She is fantastic. She is a special needs certified divorce and transition coach and mediator, a parenting coordinator. She does it all. So Marianne, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. I will let you take it away.
Great. Thanks so much, Michelle. Pleasure to be here today. And we're both wearing pink in honor of marriage and love, even though we're not in February Valentine's Month anymore, but definitely we try to spread the love every year.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So many of y'all may know me. I recognize some of the names here that are joining us today. So I appreciate you joining us. And for those who I don't know, I look forward to getting to know you as well. So my journey, long road, and make a long story short, is I became a certified divorce coach and started my company, Special Family Transitions, based on what happened to me and my family so that I could help others. So you may be wondering, why is a divorce coach giving a marriage presentation? So to me, you know, to me, the family is the most important thing. And I have great belief in marriage. That was my intent when I got married and growing up, to be married forever. And so sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. And it's not a reflection on anybody or things that we, you know, believe in. It's sometimes these things happen. And so as a mom of sons in the autism spectrum, and having been through over 20 years of marriage, I do consider myself an expert in marriage, and maybe what works and maybe what doesn't work, and maybe what could have been done differently and what other people can do to help their marriage. And even if they're not going to stay married, what can we do to help our relationships, our kids, and maybe down the road, our future relationships as well. And so I want to share lessons that I've learned, that I've learned from other people. And many of you all were kind enough to send me information about what works for you all. So excited to share those perspectives as well. But I'm a believer in advocating, first of all, for yourself, because if we don't take care of ourselves and believe in ourselves, then we're not going to have successful marriage or parenting in terms of raising our kids and accomplishing our goals and what we want to do as a family. And so sometimes families may look different. Sometimes we may be married and sometimes we're not. And those are all families, but we're here to talk about marriage. So I'll definitely shift my gears and talk regarding that. Because, you know, I see what happens if you don't work on your marriage, right? So through, you know, maybe personal experience and maybe from what's out there. As many of y'all may know, there's a very high rate of divorce among families who have a child with disability. Some people say it's as high as 80%. Some people may say lower. Some people may say higher. The point is, it's a very common occurrence with normal divorce taking place about 50% of the time. But with the other stresses that we deal with, we can see why some of those rates may be higher. And just as an important point as well, is that there's a very high rate of divorce for second and third marriages. For seconds, it's in the 60s, and then the third marriage is over 70%. So we want to focus on really what's the key of making a successful marriage and relationship, so that we can improve the situation that we're in. And if in the future, if we're either already divorced or if that comes down the road, we want to make sure that we're taking good skills and good habits to carry us forward in the future. And we want to look about what happens to kids. You know, marriage, my parents were married until my dad passed away, for over 49 years. They almost had their 50th anniversary before he passed away from cancer. But to me, that was what family looked like and what I aspired to. And so, you know, I never had to go through divorce as a child, but many people do. And then even if you haven't yourself, you worry about what impact's going to have on your kids. And what I want to share here is that it's not so much the divorce that impacts kids, it's how we as parents relate to each other and how we handle the situation. So we want to have our kids be loved and be in a loving, safe environment. And that's really the most important thing. So, you know, ideally we want to be married and happy and have our kids happy, but that doesn't always happen. And so if we are getting divorced, there's certain ways that things that we can do to make sure that kids are protected and supported in that process. And if we, on parents, you know, we go through a lot as parents of a child with special needs and different challenges. And sometimes we have high rates of depression and burnout and just all the day-to-day things that go on. And so we want to help us, whether we're married or not, to work on those things that impact us and help us help our kids as well. There's a lot of reasons why marriages end. So these, the first ones are for quote unquote typical marriages, right? Without kids, without any kind of disability. These are the top reasons, not saying these are not in a particular order, but these are some of the reasons that marriages may end that you may have either encountered or people you know or have heard about. And so a common one is lack of closeness or intimacy. So that just over time, you know, you may not, you know, looking back to when you were first married, it may not be the same in terms of, you know, holding hands and hugging and everything that we do to show love. And maybe everyone shows love in a different way, but sometimes over the years, for whatever reason, just the day-to-day life, we kind of lose that sense of intimacy. And so those are something to keep in mind, that we want to try to, you know, find the spark again or just show people that we love them. Communication is a big thing. Sometimes we don't know how to communicate. We don't communicate effectively. One party may try to communicate and the other may not. And sometimes there's ways to work on that. And that's the goal. But that's one of the key things that that I found is the reason for relationship issues is that people are not effectively communicating or willing to as well. Infidelity also is, you know, happens a lot. And so we want to try to do these other things so that hopefully people don't get to that point. But sadly, it does occur, and some people get through that kind of situation. Some people it's really hard to, and you've got to really determine, you know, is this something that's going to happen again? Is this a pattern, or is this just a one-time thing that maybe you can work through? So it's all, I'm not here to judge anybody or anything, but these things do happen. And so it's a personal decision with professional help to see if you can get through that or not. And then, you know, it comes down to what your values are in terms of a family. What do you believe in? You know, that either you both believed in the beginning and still continue to, because over time, people change from when you're 20 to maybe 50, you're maybe a different person. And so you may find there's compatibility issues, you believe in different things now that you've experienced life some more, and that's okay, and that happens. And then financial issues can be a source of friction in marriages. Some people may disagree on how to spend money, and there may be money issues, either having not enough or maybe too much and then not spending it the right way. And then there's the challenge of how much, you know, is going to support the kids and things like that. And then this is another area, this is, you know, sad, but it is common for domestic abuse and violence. And I just want to say that domestic abuse doesn't have to be violent in terms of physical abuse. It could be coercive control. It could be emotional abuse. It could be all kinds of things. And I've just recently joined an organization called the Divorce Coalition to help divorce professionals support families going through domestic abuse. So please feel free to reach out to me for resources if you're you know, running into that or know people who need help in that area.
And I'm sure you would keep that very confidential.
Oh, for sure. Everything that I talk about with my clients is 100% confidential. So for sure. But this actually, domestic abuse is about 23% of reason for divorce. So so it is common, even though people may not talk about it. That's kind of bringing it up right now. It does happen. People who say, oh, I would never could be abused in a marriage. It does happen. And it's really hard to admit and hard to face. And so sometimes we may not even think of it as abuse if it's someone let's say, you know, narcissistic tendencies or dealing with boundary issues. It can be a lot of things. So that's a big, it's a big pot out there, and not talking so much about this today, but know that that is a big reason why marriages sometimes are best to end in some cases, even though I do, like I said, you know, believe in marriage and value that and hope people can stay married if possible. There's certainly a lot of reasons why marriages won't work and maybe shouldn't continue for the safety of the individual as well as for the kids. And so on top of all that, you've got the issue or the challenges of raising a child with a disability. And so what happens sometimes is one of the parties, or maybe both, depending, has trouble accepting that child or the disability or what it all means, and that you know, it wasn't their idea of what marriage was about and raising a family. They didn't they don't know how to deal with the pressures and of a child not being perfect in their eyes, or having the vision that they had growing up of what their, you know, raising a family would look like. It is makes it very different. Not that makes it more or less, it's just different. And so some people definitely have trouble coming to grips with that, and that causes some other issues as well. And then even if you both accept it, or even if you don't, then you've got the added stress and responsibility of raising that child. You know, you're going to have to you know, go through therapies and things through the school and plan for their future, and some of the things that Michelle talked about how do we plan you know, now and in the long term for that child. And so some people think about this day and night, and so it does take a toll on the parents and the marriage as well. And so a few months ago, I wrote an article. I'm a contributing writer to a magazine called Autism Spectrum News. And normally my divorce is the topic of my articles, but I thought, well, let me do something different. And so I wrote an article about making your relationship work under the pressures of caregiving. It was in their fall 2023 issues. There's a link down the bottom if you want to check that out later, and we'll include that. I'll follow up with you all and make sure you have that if you'd like to read that article. But I talked about different things that you can do to help your marriage. And so some of these we've talked about a little bit, but you know, the first one I think is the most important is the acceptance of this disability diagnosis. We all go through a grief cycle, so it may take people different amounts of time, different points in their parenting journey to really come to full acceptance of the diagnosis, you know, in a grief journey with any kind of loss or change. And this happens in divorce as well, or any kind of change that we have in our lives. You know, first, you're going to have denial. Then you're going to have anger, bargaining, depression. And finally, you get to the point of acceptance. And so you will never get to that point, or they may go through the cycle several times over their parenting journey, and depending on what the child is dealing with and different challenges they may face. So it just becomes really hard, but you want to accept you know, the child for who they are and do what you can to help that child and help the family in terms of having the best outcome possible. I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture. I know it's not easy. I have days in my family where things are rosy and sometimes they're not. So definitely to get the support you need for yourself and for your kids, if that's the case. And then sometimes you've got one parent either doing it all, even if you're married, one may be the primary caregiver or have most of the responsibilities, and the other one may have a full responsibility for all the financial contribution to the family, and not to lessen one or the other. And sometimes people do both. But so if whatever your situation is, each parent is going to need a break of some sorts, right? The if it's a caregiving parent or one that who's ever at the time taking care of that child, or maybe it's together. Sometimes some parents need to just, you know, walk away, or the other parent needs to step in if someone's showing signs of being overwhelmed for whatever reason. And it could be that maybe they need to hire a caregiver, maybe hire a sitter. So, you know, having full-time jobs and taking care of kids full-time can be very stressful for anybody. And so know that sometimes we need a break, and it's okay to ask for a break. And that's kind of when the communication ties in. Sometimes we don't communicate that. The other party may not understand that we need a break or need help or need respite or whatever it might be. So we want to be able to communicate that, and also our feelings about how we're doing. Maybe, you know, sometimes we feel overwhelmed at a certain day and everything's fine later, but talking about that and finding support and encouragement, whether it's, sometimes it may not be with your spouse, it may be through friends, community, and things like that as well. And so a lot of times as special needs parents, we don't make time for self-care or feel that we can or need to or are able to. And so we want to be able to do that to be the best that we can for ourselves and for our spouse and for our kids. And so part of that is spending one-on-one time with our spouse. I've heard so many people, I know I was guilty of it as well, is that, you know, we spend all our energy taking care of our kids and then we don't have time or energy to go out for date nights or dinners or just have conversations with our spouse without, you know, kids interrupting every few minutes, whatever it might be. So where you can, try to make time, schedule time if you need to, find sitters to come in and give you that time with your spouse to continue to build that bond and work on, communicate whatever may be going on at that time. This is a quote here kind of summarizing the article is, make time for yourself, your spouse, in your marriage to increase the chances of success for your marriage and the well-being of everyone in your household, and you are worth it. And so, yeah, sometimes we don't feel like we are. We're kind of day-to-day doing our things, but we are worth it. Our family's worth it, and our kids are worth it. So definitely make yourself and your relationships a priority.
Definitely so important. And the link on the bottom of this page, when you receive these slides later on in your email today, you will be able to click that link and go straight to her article.
Okay. And then in addition to the article, which is kind of the reason I decided to do this presentation, I thought, okay, let me get some more information. Let me get other people's perspective. So my Facebook name, if you'd like to follow me on Facebook, you're definitely welcome to, is Marianne Pano Hughes. Incorporate my maiden name in there. And so I made a post recently asking, what are your best tips for nurturing your marriage? And so I got a lot of responses. And so I appreciate everybody who took the time to do that. And my post will stay up for people who want to look at all the tips in detail and maybe add to them as well. And we'll compile them and share them again. But they had different themes that I was able to categorize them in. And the next slide, I'll kind of share some specific quotes that were there. But definitely communication kept coming up, be able to communicate with your spouse. But then there's also something called a safe word, which I really hadn't seen before. And what that referred to, and I saw that a couple of times, one time was called nonviolent communication and one time was called safe word, which I learned means if you're not in a state, mental state or emotional state to have a conversation, they need to say so. You need to indicate to your spouse, this is not a good time for me to have this kind of conversation or have this discussion, and that we can table it and maybe discuss it later. So we don't, you know, we don't, when we're already triggered or elevated in terms of emotionally, we're not going to be able to have rational discussions. And so we want to recognize that and say, okay, well, this is important to me. I want to discuss it with you, but let's do it a little bit later when, you know, I'm not in this state. And date nights are important. I was glad to see so many people do make that a priority to have scheduled time, whether it's once a week or once a month or whatever it may be, to spend that special time, one-on-one time without the kids around, with a significant other. Now, it's great also to do family outings and things like that. And that, I think, is encouraging, and we can show the kids by example that, you know, what loving relationship looks like, but it's also important to have some one-on-one time with the kids. And some people also suggested taking trips, which I know can be even more difficult to schedule. Some people, one person went to a seminar where they suggested monthly trips, which is hard to do for sure, but this family ends up doing annual trips. So, you know, once a year, if you can, even if it's for a weekend getaway, try to schedule some time with your spouse to be able to just relax and reconnect with each other and disconnect from all the other pressures that you may have. And so part of that has to do, you know, for date nights and for trips, finding a sitter or help that you trust. Some people think, oh, you know, I can't find anybody who understands my kids or can handle my kids. And that becomes a cycle where then we just never go out. And then more issues develop from that. So, you know, sometimes it may be parents, it may be friends, there may be, I've done a whole nother video, which I'm happy to share as well, about ways to find support and helps and respite providers. So definitely, I've been at, like, for instance, my kids also go to parents' night out events at different special needs ministries, at different churches. And that gives me a time, whether you're married or not, you can also take that time just to have time to yourself. So know that there's opportunities out there for help, people to come in who have a love for kids with disabilities. And so that's important to try to find somebody or at least several people in case one is unavailable to be able to, that you can depend on to come in. And also not just for date night, but even to offload you. We talked about that, finding help sometimes. The other party may not be able to jump in to do that. And so even different opportunities to connect. It could be you know, family events. It could be just, you know, sitting together, watching TV, holding hands, whatever it might be. Some of those little things kind of add up, you know, over time. You know, if you think back to the beginning of your marriage, maybe you're together all the time, and now, you know, maybe finding time together is harder. So find ways that you can spend time together, even as a family. I think that goes a long way. A lot of people also definitely saw the importance of having God at the center of the marriage. I'm not telling anybody what to believe or how to believe it, but that was definitely a common theme that, you know, praying together, looking at family values and what we both believe in and how we can use that belief to solidify our relationship and plan for the future. Then also self-awareness and empathy are important. We want to realize what we're doing in the relationship that maybe could be contributing to some issues we may having or things that maybe we can do better. And not to say that we have to put it all on ourselves. It's a two-way street and both people play a role, but it helps to know that, you know, we don't want to just blame the other person. We want to see what can we do to make things better as well. And maybe recognizing what they're going through. There's two sides of that is, you know, they maybe somebody may come home tired or maybe in a bad mood. Well, think about, you know, what, and that goes with the empathy part, is what can they be maybe going through that's contributing to how they're acting or reacting at home. And part of that has to do with the communication that we talked about, being able to share when those issues are happening. And then humor. Sometimes we just have to laugh at ourselves, laugh at what our kids do, and just try to shake it off and get beyond that. And then humility. Humility is important. I never saw it phrased this way, but in terms of being able to say you're sorry, admit when you've done something wrong, and apologize. That a lot of people don't do that. And I think if people, more people did that, I think that would definitely help further the positive relationship aspects.
Definitely. And one thing that I shared with Marianne before we got started today is I saw this post. I didn't respond, but I will tell you what my grandma's advice was. Even at my grandpa's funeral, she said this, because they were married for 71 years and people always asked, what is your secret? And she says there are two secrets to their happy marriage, and it was separate bathrooms and separate vacations. So even though a lot of people, you know, your opportunities to connect and date night and this and that, but you also have to have opportunities to be by yourself. And that's one thing that my husband and I found earlier in our marriage. He traveled a lot for work and people would say, oh, how do you guys do it? And I said, well, it's kind of a good thing because I'm very independent and I don't need constant togetherness, although I love it. Sometimes I like to have just quiet and be a little bit more introverted and just be by myself too. So the travel was actually good for us during certain parts of our marriage.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a great point is, yeah, not everything has to be with your spouse by any means, because we want to, it's kind of the self-care aspect we talked about, is we want to spend time, you know, with our friends or even alone or whatever it might be to replenish ourselves and our soul, mm-hmm. to make us get back to the everyday grind. So it's kind, yes, of garbage for sure. These are just some of the quotes that were there, just thought I'd share. Humility, the willingness to admit when we're wrong, apologize, forgive, also frequent communication, and never go to bed angry, which is a good one. Dialogue daily, weekly, date weekly, and depart annually on a trip. And then their D word is a disgust. And this person was actually featured. She mentioned in a newspaper article. She's got several kids with disabilities, and so they have a lot to handle. And so, yeah, they definitely prioritize what they need to do to get through their challenges every day. Being open and honest, respecting each other's boundaries and beliefs, and compromise when necessary. So not one person is always right, for sure. And then this is important about telling them what you need and ask for help. People are not mind readers, so if you need help, be sure to express that. Laughter, gratitude, and positivity. It's amazing how much positive attitude will get you. Be able to look at a situation and have that spin that into as much a positive situation as you can, being grateful for what you have. And we talked about the humor. And then this one I thought was really interesting because that's something I've never done. And it's something that I could see you've got to have a level of closeness and trust with that person, and it can bring you closer. So I'll read this to you because I thought it was really kind of moving to me. Is share intimate moments daily, synchronizing deep breaths with your partner, inhaling and exhaling slowly to deepen your connection. So I can see some people be like, oh, I'm not doing that kind of thing. That's kind of, woo-woo and out there. But I could see how that, can build trust and build, or rekindle some feelings that you might have had, because at one point, hopefully, you were this close. And so by doing this, it'll maybe strengthen that bond again. So if you all try this, let me know how that works for you. And this one in the middle, I've got a next slide to talk about it more in detail. But do a personality test and identify your love language. This helped your marriage tremendously. And so let's go on to the next slide and we'll talk more about that. So some of you all may have heard about a book called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. He actually has a whole series of them. There's even one about five love languages when you have a special needs child, which I read in a book club not too long ago. And so know that there's different ways that we like to receive love, and we also give love. And not everybody's the same in terms of how they express what they need or what they want and what they value. And so you may be one way, another, and your spouse may be another, appreciate another love language. So there's acts of service, which is when you do things for people, or on the flip side, when you want people to do things for you. There's receiving gifts. Some people show their love by giving out gifts, presents and jewelry and whatever it might be, maybe little mementos that have to be a big thing. And then there's quality time. So people value just hanging out together, doing special activities together without, if someone values this as a love language, then they're not going to be real happy when the other party is scrolling on their phone constantly and not paying attention to them. That happens a lot these days. And so we want to sometimes maybe just put our, unplug, put our phones down, turn off the TV, and just spend time with that person. That will actually go a long way if that's the person's love language. And words of affirmation mean a lot to some people, meaning they want to hear verbally. That they're loved, that they're appreciated, and who doesn't want to be loved and appreciated and hear those kind of words? But for some people, it has even greater significance. And then physical touch. This could be, as simple as holding hands, giving hugs, kisses, pat on the back, whatever it might be. Even my son, sometimes we don't think about our kids, their love languages, and said to me, Mom, can I have a hug? We think maybe they're older and they don't need that, but they still do. So whether they're young, old, whatever it might be, some people just really really crave that, even though you may not be as touchy-feely as maybe they are or would or things that they would want. So I was kind of curious, probably hard to do a poll right here, but if you want to put in the chat what your love language is, and also think about what your spouse's might be, or significant other, or even your child if you're not currently married, and do they match up? So the acts of service.
I think mine is definitely words of affirmation are really important. And I know my husband likes acts of service, especially, you know, keeping up the house and keeping things clean and neat, doing his laundry and stuff like that.
Yeah, so those are little things, right? So yeah, so appreciate y'all sharing. And so I think it's important, you know, just think, you know, what is your spouse's love language and what would they appreciate? So kind of like Michelle was mentioning. And if some things are important to you that you're not receiving, then let your spouse or your other know that these are the things that you're seeking. So there's checklists, there's a website for this, and there's books, and there's all kinds of quizzes you can do to identify if you're not quite sure what your love language is. And sometimes there's maybe multiple ones. So we all like these to a certain extent, but sometimes one or two will stand out, and that is kind of revealing to take that quiz and see really what's most important to you. And there's also the quiz, like I mentioned, the one for your child. You can either ask them, or if they're not verbal, kind of trying to figure out based on their behaviors or their preferences what theirs is. And I think that that was really enlightening too. Okay. Next slide then. And so we talked a little bit about this, about self-care. So sometimes we may not think we have the time, or we're worth it, or don't know what self-care is or what it can be for us. But the important thing is to know that we're important and we need to prioritize ourselves. You know, we sometimes, as a special needs mom, I know a lot of people on this call are moms. We try to do everything else for everybody, whether it's our husband, it's our kids, our jobs, a combination, whatever it might be, but we don't focus on ourselves and what do we need to get through the day and to be, to grow and to be the best we can be in our lives and in our relationships. And so we want to, you know, think about it that way as well. We want to be at our best so that we can be the best we can be for those that we love. You know, she's holding a cup, and with expression I like is, you can't pour from an empty cup, whether it's in a loving relationship or a business relationship or even a divorce situation, right? We have to take care of ourselves, do what we need to do so that we can make good decisions and be there emotionally for those that that need us. And self-care may look different for me and for you and for everybody. I used to think self-care meant going to a spa or spending a lot of money shopping or things like that, or taking big expensive trips. And it doesn't have to be that way. It could be sitting down, having a cup of coffee, having a quiet moment, going for a walk, getting your roots done, whatever it might be for you, right? So just know that, you know, think about what's important to you. If you had 5 minutes to yourself, what would you do with that time? And so kind of try to incorporate those as daily habits where possible, or as possible, you know, may not be daily, but definitely take it, have a moment at least each day that you could just have to yourself, decompress, look back on the day, think about the day coming up without the constant to-do list going on in your head. You know that you are worthy. You're definitely, this is not something that's a luxury. This is something that we need to do for ourselves. And by demonstrating it and doing these things, you'll be a role model for your child and for others around you who may not recognize the importance of doing these things. So we don't want children to think that we don't matter, or that they don't matter, or that they grow up, that they don't need to do things for themselves, that they are important. And learning to set boundaries, I think, is an important part of self-care. How do we say no to people? What can we do to better express ourselves? And so I think all that comes into play. And so I debated how to then transition or whether to include this in this presentation. But the reality is that we talked about, you know, marriages do go through tough times, and sometimes we do struggle. And so what do we do about that? You know, we have done a lot of these things that I've shared in the presentation. There's a lot more as well, but what if we're still struggling? So I'll share in the next slide some of the things that we can do. But as a divorce coach, I felt like I wouldn't have done my job if I didn't share some of these things with you. So I'm not trying to offend anybody, but just know sometimes this is reality and these things happen. And so, you know, sometimes we need to think about, you know, do I stay in this relationship, or do I end it or go, or what do I need to do? And so the biggest thing you can do is definitely self-reflection. You know, what's going to be best for your situation? It may not be what's best for your neighbor. It may not be, you know, what you envision, but really, what is it that you need to be happy and that your kids can be happy and thrive? And so you can sometimes, you know, self-reflection is important, but sometimes we also want to get input and support and guidance and ideas from other people. And that could be family and friends. It could be a mental health professional, different kind of therapists are out there. It could be a member of your clergy, church, synagogue, whatever it might be. Maybe there's a counselor there. Maybe, you know, head of that religious place that you go, that maybe can provide some guidance and input. And know that, because depending on where you go, some people may have different views on divorce and relationship struggles. But anyway, that's a whole other discussion we can have. But basically, you want to find a place that's going to be supportive, I guess, of your concerns. And it may not be perhaps you know, a place that you go. It could be maybe another one that you could find that maybe is more open to having these discussions. I can tell you when I first started going through these kind of questions, I found a therapy provider that was associated with a church I was at. So it wasn't actually the church. It was the church providing the bigger organization providing professional support and counseling. And then there's certified divorce coaches like myself. Back when I was going through divorce and these questions, I didn't know divorce coaches existed. And so so people who are divorce coaches are here to support you, to kind of talk through some of the issues you're having, and not to say they're advocating for divorce. I mean, if you're going through divorce and decide that's the best option, they'll definitely help you through it. But they're there to, even just to help you talk through different issues and see what be involved in either helping your relationship or taking those next steps. And so I would say for a divorce coach, as well as the next couple of categories, we want to look at people who have even all these areas, even a therapist. We want to work with people who have experience and they can understand the needs of a special needs family, right? Because you know, we have different extra challenges that other families may not have. And so we want to make sure that we're working with people, whether it's family and friends who have been through that, or any of these categories, who understand really what it takes and what the challenges that we face and how we can realistically proceed. And so we want to work with financial professionals who do have experience in there, and family law attorneys as well. I mean, you don't have to like go to divorce right away. And I recommend that family law attorney is the last person you go to, right? Try all these other things first. You don't want to kind of get in a whirlwind of emotion and just say, I'm going to go to an attorney and file. You know, think through with a divorce coach or the financial person, what is that going to look like? You know, what does it look like to be divorced? Well, how much money are you going to need? Because this basically becomes a financial and business decision in a way, and transaction. And so there's definitely a lot of emotion as part of that. But we want to, you know, look at it. Okay, you know, if I do go down this road, what's it going to look like for me and for my kids? And so having those conversations either in your head or with a professional before you go to attorney is the best, is a better approach rather than have them dictate the way your divorce process may look. So you're in charge of your situation. And so take ownership, and the divorce coach can help you, you know, really get to the, you know, what's going to take for you to get through this process, whether you get divorced or not, to come out the other side and be in a good situation for you and your kids. And so what if nothing works? What if you're already divorced, or what if you tried all these things and it's just not working? Those things happen, like I said. And so the point is, if you're going through divorce or thinking about it, or if you're already divorced, we want to maintain as what they call amicable a relationship as you can, meaning you want to try to get along with the other party for your sake, for their sake, and for the sake of the kids. There's a term called co-parenting. There's also one called parallel parenting, if you can't agree on the parenting styles and how that should look. But with a special needs child, the child is not going to turn 18 and magically not need you anymore. They're going to need both parents to be there for them. And so we need to, what they call co-parents. So we're going to have to work together to support that child for planning for the future. And so we want to hopefully be able to do that. And there's different ways to do that, which I help my clients with. But know that we want to go through the process of divorce in a way that's not going to alienate them. I mean, granted, there may be some emotions for a period of time, and it usually takes about 3 years to kind of fully get through all the feelings and hurts and have your new normal. So it takes time. I'm not trying to make light of it, but if you're going through divorce, we want to try to do this in a way that's going to set everybody up to be able to work together and be there for the kids and have the kids be able to trust and love both parents and not put them in the middle by any means. And so we want to support the child through that transition and what that might look like to help them if that's the case. There's ways to do that to make it, especially with kids with autism, they have a hard time with change. So there's ways to introduce the concept and going to another parent's home, things like that. And a lot of people think divorce is a failure, that it's an end, and it's not, right? Based on your situation, all the things that we've talked through, all the reasons for divorce, and if you've gone through all these things trying to help your marriage, sometimes it just doesn't work for whatever reason, and there's no judgment. And so, if you get to that point and know that divorce can be a new beginning, it was for me. I never thought I'd be getting divorced and didn't see on my horizon and didn't even know what that looked like. But I can tell you, I'm like a different person than I was years ago. I've taken this opportunity to grow and learn and focus on me and my kids. And the other day, somebody said to me, my kids have made so much progress that maybe divorce was a good thing in our case, right? Not to say that the other party did anything negative to the kids, but sometimes people need that fresh approach for the kids to thrive and for ourselves to thrive as well. And so, as we mentioned, we want to work with professional experience in divorce involving children with special needs because there's so many intricacies that need to be considered as part of the process, thinking about the process, how we break the news to the kids, and how to plan for them that really it's not just as simple as, somebody with no kids, I'm going to get divorced. We've got a lot of things to consider. It makes it a hard decision. But my goal is that you. Go ahead.
Especially if there are children with special needs, thinking about child support beyond age 18 can jeopardize their SSI benefits, their Medicaid. So you have to plan ahead for that. You need to think about the special needs trust, and maybe, each parent, maybe it's in the divorce decree that each parent has life insurance that's going to go towards that special needs trust. Things like that. There's just a lot to think about financially too, that you have to have in place.
For sure. Yeah. And I've done seminars and different webinars with Consolidated that are on their YouTube channel. So definitely, if this is your situation, then definitely there's information out there and feel free to reach out to me as well. And so, yes, I'm here to help you, whatever your situation might be, whether it's kind of to talk through your marriage and maybe give some more suggestions, or if you're thinking about transitioning and divorcing, then I'm here to support you as well. So, in addition to being a divorce coach, I help definitely as a transition and life coach as well, gone through the trainings for that. And I have to share that I've also recently become a mediator and also a parenting coordinator, which means I can work with you if you're married, even if you're not thinking about divorcing, but want to think about better ways you can parent together or work together. So, I'm here to support you in your journey as either a married couple or not. Or post-divorce process or after. So, I'm here for you no matter what you need. I can work with one parent or both together or both separately, before, during, or after. So I'm here for you no matter what you need.
And this is how people can get in touch with you. Yay!
Yeah, so I do have my website, Special Family Transitions, and all my social media is under Special Family Transitions. I've got a Facebook page, I've got Instagram, I've got YouTube channel as well. And I do, if you search for Mary Ann Hughes, you'll find all kinds of podcasts and things that I've done and shared in the past. I've written a lot of articles, writing more and more for different magazines and publications with different kind of perspectives and things that might be important to your family. And not all my things are divorce related. I try to provide support on transitions for post high school, because my kids have gone through that. They're now young adults. And so, yeah, I'm trying to share with the community things that that were challenging for me in raising my kids or planning for my future, whether it's divorce related or not. So, you know, please reach out to me if I can help in any way, and know that you're not alone. We're all here for you, and lots of professionals are here who understand what you're going through.
And I often see Marianne at the different, you know, transition fairs and resource fairs. So if you go to any of those, you know, stop by her booth and say hello, meet her in person, get some information. You never know when you're going to need her. And she is someone who is such a great professional to have, kind of just to know that she's out there if and when you need her, I think is a really good idea. So, of course, you will receive her contact info later on today, the slides, the email, everything will be out there for you. So Consolidated Planning Group, you know, we help people with developing that special needs care plan, future care cost estimates, their benefits like the Texas waiver programs, SSI, Medicaid, SSDI, Medicare. We help set up ABLE accounts, help you understand about beneficiary designations, special needs trusts, basically all facets of special needs life and things you need to know. We do webinars about. We always put them on our YouTube channel so you can go back and watch those at any time. Marianne, we do have a question. What were some of the strategies to find help in terms of childcare that you were mentioning?
Right. So if there's, depending on the age of your child, sometimes the schools may have like paraprofessionals, or if you're in an ABA clinic, there may be some RBTs or other people who are willing and able to come out who understand. I've also had some luck in the past with care.com, where you can search for those with special needs interests and background. There's through the special needs ministries, they may have some people, a lot of psychology students. So we want to get creative in terms of how we find people. Sometimes referrals, there's some groups on Facebook that share about different nannies and people out there. So yeah,
there's definitely a lot of great parenting groups out there on Facebook that might be a good place to ask about those things.
Yeah, it's hard because sometimes, yeah, they come and go and then they have conflicts come up. So yeah, we all have several kind of the, you know, so-called Rolodex to be able to call on. So not just like count on one, and they may have to, you know, leave or transition.
This person, Jane, says that University Methodist Church has lots of support for special needs families. So yeah, reaching out to your church, your schools, those things would be very helpful too. So this is my team, our team at Consolidated Planning Group. Allison and I usually do the webinars, so you might be familiar with the two of us, but we want to make sure that you're familiar with everyone on our team, because we work as a collaborative group where we all take an interest in our clients. All four of the advisors on our team put effort and work into your plan. We all bring our areas of expertise. Allison and Jeff are a married couple, and then I'm married to that guy with the big beard. And, you know, it's just a great team to work with. I love that we're independent. We're not stuck working with any one larger company, but we're contracted to work with many of them. So we can find the box that fits our clients rather than finding the other way around, you know, trying to fit our clients into the boxes that we have. We do offer a free consultation, and then I'll go over this slide and then get back to the questions. We do offer a free consultation. This is over Zoom. It's usually about 30 to 45 minutes, depending on how many questions you have. And we welcome you to bring your questions to us, pick our brains as financial and special needs planners. And then we want to get to know you and your family. We do ask you to fill out a short questionnaire before the consultation so that we know what we're walking into when we open up that Zoom meeting. But once we answer your questions and we get to know you a little bit, we go over how we work and what our fees are. And then if you're interested in moving forward, we can do that. There is no obligation. Our main goal is to answer your questions and see if we're a good fit to work together. So please schedule your free consultation. You can use the QR code or just call the office or email us. Also, these links down here will be clickable for you, the YouTube channel, Instagram, our podcast, and our Facebook page. Okay, so I'll go back to Marianne. She is why you're here. So in Dallas, Highland Park United Methodist Church has a Night Owls program for younger kids, and they have a ton of programs for adults with disabilities. So that's another resource for you. Marianne, do you ever make presentations in schools?
I have not, but I'm happy to. I mean, I connect with a lot of schools. I go to the school district transition fairs, but yeah, I'm definitely happy to do that. I actually connected one of the districts. I do have some webinars planned, I believe it's for Conroe ISD. But yeah, I'm happy to present to families, to teachers, staff, whatever it might be.
And we do that as well. We often have ISDs who put us in their newsletters or whatever and offer our webinars to their families. And you're all welcome to share this with any family and friends and anybody that you know that might be able to be helped by our information or Marianne's information. That is certainly the goal. Okay.
So, yeah, I want to share also about the special needs ministries. I appreciate you all sharing about the ones that you offer in your areas. I found that a lot of them are open to having your kids attend, even if you're not members of that church or institution. So yeah, definitely reach out there. They're very loving. They have great programs. They have great summer programs, summer camp sometimes, maybe like a vacation Bible school or a nice setting. So yeah, definitely happy to share more information on that if that's something that is interesting.
Well, yeah, and we've even done a webinar about different summer programs that are available for special needs kiddos. We've done a panel discussion where we have representatives from different summer camps or residential communities or day programs, all kinds of things. So just check our YouTube channel for that. But I definitely, Marianne, it is always so nice to see you and so good to work with you. Thank you for being here with us today, for sharing all of this great information. And all the participants, thank you for sticking with us. Like I said, you will receive this information later on today with whatever email address you registered with. There's another community respite programs link for the San Antonio area. Thank you. And can I just say that Jane, that's the way my mom spelled her name too. I love seeing that. Thank you. All right, everybody have a great week. It's Monday, so you've got plenty of time to go out there and make it a great week. If you need anything, Consolidated Planning Group is always here for you. And I know Special Family Transitions is too. So please reach out to us. I will try to capture the chat just to make sure that we can send you those resources as well. Thank you everybody very much. Have a fantastic week. Reach out if you need anything. Bye-bye. Bye everybody.